We're going to talk about the implications of access to free GP care. As I said, a new deal signed and agreed between the Irish Medical Organisation and the government after several months of talks that will be announced today. The planned extension of free GP care for those aged 6 and 7 was announced in Budget 2021 but delayed due to the details and the complexity of those negotiations. And legislation to provide for the extension of free GP care without fees to 6 and 7 year olds was published in June of 2020. With me on the line to talk about this is Killarney GP Dr. Gary Stack. Gary, good morning to you.
Morning, Jane.
This is looks like it is happening. What are your concerns over it? This, and not just the 6 and 7 year olds, but also the extension of free GP care to a wider portion of the population as well.
I suppose, Jane, we don't have the details as yet as what that entails, but generally speaking, this has been in the ether for the last 2 or 3 years that it is on the way. The difficulty is, I suppose, is that there is, as you well know, a significant lack of GPs, a shortage of GPs, Kerry-wide and countrywide. The minister has been appraised of this on numerous occasions, and his simple reply is, oh, just increase your nurse capacity. I'm afraid many practices don't have the infrastructure to significantly increase their nurse capacity. They're already operating at full capacity. And the minister feels insulted when this is pointed out to him. So that's not a helpful place to start. So there are concerns about how the service can be delivered. There already, this minister, I think, will leave a legacy of GP waiting lists that didn't exist before his arrival. There are already waiting lists in general practice, and this would just add to it.
So what's the answer, Gary? Is it more GPs, more GP practices setting up in rural areas?
More GP practice, I suppose, at this stage is more than just GPs and the structure surrounding them. But I think most practices are already at their staff capacity and at their physical infrastructural capacity. You've seen how much difficulty hospitals have had in recruiting nurses. And minister saying, sure, you can recruit them for general practice. How does he expect general practice to recruit them when hospitals can't recruit? If you go stop about recruiting abroad, if you try to go recruiting abroad, where you want to house these people when they come, it's multifactorial in the problems that this creates.
And that those problems, this is coming in August. It's been agreed by the IMO after lengthy talks. So is there any hope? And I know you said you're waiting for detail, but is there any hope that perhaps maybe, you know, that has been worked out in the deal? And I know you'll be getting briefings in relation to how it's going to work from that side of it.
I don't think there's much of a hope of that, Jerry, because the IMO have been pointing this out to the minister, and the minister has bullheaded, gone ahead and said he's going to be doing this, take it or leave it, like it or lump it. So I think the IMO have been faced with the issue that they've had to negotiate something, because the minister is just ploughing ahead anyway. We've seen on the previous, when the under sixes were given doctor visit cards, the consultation rate went up 27%. So I think that's a likely scenario for all any new patients who get medical cards, that the consultation rate goes up 27%.
They're more likely to go to a doctor if they know it's for free.
They will go 27% more often each year than they did when they didn't have a medical card.
And that's your argument, that puts pressure on an already overstretched system.
Yes, and I mean, I had an RT, they were saying that the minister said that we can, you know, it's up to GPs whether they want to accept these patients or not. These patients are already GP patients. They're already in the practice. It's going to be very difficult to turn around to an existing patient and said we won't accept your medical card. So these patients are already, they're not particularly new patients to the practice. They're already in the practice. So that argument doesn't hold up either.
Gary, there was at the weekend, there was a social media post up from a Cork GP, Fiona Kelly, who's worked in Castletown Bear since 2009. She was forced to close her GP practice temporarily because she couldn't find any locum cover. Yeah. And this was, she was going on holidays. She was trying to you know, get cover for the holiday period, had managed it, but this one particular day it was, you know, trying to sort out a real problem. The cover is being provided anyway in general by a retired GP out of the kindness of her own heart coming out. She tried 3 or 4 options, tried locum, tried agencies, and just couldn't get anything on the particular day and just had to close and went to social media and say, look, this is the reality of it. Does that underline the difficulties there in terms of...
I suppose the more rural, the more isolated you are, so the less likely you are to be able to get a locum willing to come and work there. So that is an issue. The more rural you go, the bigger the problem that is.
Yeah, she actually received an email from the HSE Primary Care Unit asking her to explain her decision to close.
I saw that, yeah, yes, yeah. I would know Dr. Kelly. We've had contact with her over the years.
Yeah.
From a South Dock point of view, so we would know the situation intimately.
So is her story indicative of the pressure that this will only increase, to your view?
Oh, to certainly. I mean, we have the situation in South Kerry in Carsley and Waterville. As I said, when I started in practice, there were six GPs in the area. With the retirement of one of them last week, that's now down to three. Sorry, down to two. There were three for the last number of years. That's now down to two. And I'm guessing that probably this time next year, they'll be down to one.
Mm.
And I don't know how general practice will survive in that situation when... that they won't be able to cope with. They're not able to cope with the numbers they have at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the story, and that's the issue. And really, I suppose this is the particular problem and the particular issue in regards to that. Final point on it, Gary, and just going back to Fiona's story. She was hoping to get a retired GP to provide cover, but the medical insurance and registration ran out. And she tried in vain to renew it for one more day. She was met with a resounding no and told she'd have to renew for a full year, which would cost several thousand euro. And Fiona also tried to get onto older GPs or get onto other GPs for cover. And she was told the three that she had in mind had not renewed their registration, not bothered to renew their registration because of those costs. Is that a practical example of something that could be done to alleviate the crisis in the meantime? Being more flexible with those sort of situations to reflect the reality on the ground?
Are the medical council likely to do that? Medical council.
I'm just saying, like, it's an emergency, so maybe emergency thinking is needed, or radical action is thinking. Is that one area that maybe needed to be looked
that
at?
Certainly is. I mean, if the HSE, if the government were serious about this, they could look at insuring people for shorter periods of time, but that is a complicated process, but that's a possibility. But the medical council are involved as well, and part of being registered with the medical council is having to undertake 50 hours of education outside of general practice hours in the year. That is a requirement for registration outside of our practice work. That's an hour every week of the year. So medical council won't step back on that, I would think, but that's between government and medical council.
Yeah, okay. All right, Gary, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for giving us your view on that. Dr. Gary Stack there, seeing problems with the introduction of this new widening of the free GP care to a half a million extra people, including children aged 6 and 7. If you have a view on it, get in touch with us on the programme.